Good evening, Los Angeles, and welcome to The Talking Show.
The Talking
on Show. On K Chung Radio, Chinatown's only micro-broadcasting radio solution. That's right, Steve. The only one.
That's right, Nicholas. The only one.
Yeah, you can say that again. Well, it's wonderful to be here. The weather's taken a warm turn lately.
Yeah, nice.
You know, honestly, I really enjoy the foggy weekend last weekend. How about you, Steve?
Yeah, you know, not really my thing. I didn't move here for very much weather, frankly.
Yeah, I had a friend down from San Francisco to see some art openings, and he complained the whole time because I guess they probably get enough of that up there. But
yeah,
down here, a little dreary weather, a bit of afternoon rain is warmly welcomed.
It's exciting.
Well, so all of Kaechung is a flutter,
yeah,
as they say, with excitement, because when the Talking Show entered today, you know, I was my normal self in my normal pants and normal shoes, normal skin, reflecting light normally. Whereas Steve is, luminescent,
yeah,
in an entirely new way. Isn't that right, Steve?
Yeah, I'm like one of those cuttlefish or something like that
That's right.
Yeah.
While you thought that the only people who were getting Apple Watches early were people like Karl Lagerfeld or Pharrell. That's not true. Steve Cato is one of the first civilians to have an Apple Watch. How does it feel, Steve?
It feels okay. It's to be fair, it's not like it came directly from Tim Cook at Apple, because I am, you know, like Karl Lagerfeld. It came actually because a friend of a friend of a friend was working for Pharrell, and he actually couldn't figure out really like how it worked. So they asked me to just look at it, because I was around at the time, and he just gave it to me. So it's kind of a sloppy seconds Apple Watch right now. Yeah.
Steve's got some shares of Tesla and an Apple Watch. I mean, if you didn't look twice, you'd think he was a billionaire.
Yeah, you know, but when you look twice, you realize I'm just friends of a friend of a friend of a PA for Pharrell, and that makes me like everyone else in Los Angeles.
Yeah. Well, Steve, how are you feeling in general about these new wearable technologies? Are they something you're on board with? Do you want to augment your reality as much as possible?
I don't know. You know, I think reality is weird enough as it is a lot of the time. I'm not convinced that it's going to get less weird if we get involved this way, you know?
That's funny. You know, I at lunch earlier this week, I ran into former Talking Show guest Matt Doyle.
Oh, nice.
Entering a design and media program at the University of California at Los Angeles.
Oh, good for him.
And I asked him what he hoped to study there, and he said he wants to make virtual reality art.
Wow. Yeah.
So he's, and he was talking about turning the Frankfurt School on its head, as it were,
by
and celebrating the spectacle.
Oh.
Ushering in a grand new era. I guess it's not really a new era. The like, spectacle has been in charge for quite some
time.
Yeah,
it's like our current, you know, celebrating our current moment.
Fully embrace it.
Yeah.
That too also happened a long time ago.
Yeah.
But anyhow.
That's acceleration.
Way to go, Matt.
Yeah, I approve. I think
best
Matt's,
of luck to you.
I think Matt's a genius, and I think that you know, his version of accelerationism is going to be far superior to any of the previous extant accelerationist diatribes / lifestyle / bodies of work that I've seen. So more power to you, Matt Doyle.
Well, our guest tonight comes from a moment when music was, well, avant-garde music was a bit different.
Yeah.
I go from time to time to concerts at Human Resources, and I feel like a lot of the experimental music I'm hearing is somewhat similar, which isn't a judgment yet. I'm working on that judgment. But our guest tonight hails from a time when, you know, talking show godfather Robert Ashley was making music and releasing his friends' records, including some famous recordings of tonight's guest.
Yeah, including this recording.
Without any further delay, I would like to warmly introduce one of the many inspirations for the talking show. And I know and I know we have a great fan of our guest tonight here in Steve.
Yes. Yeah,
so
huge fan.
Steve is quivering. His watch is causing his whole wrist to bioluminesce. But anyhow, here we have it. All the way from Wesleyan University, Alvin Luthier.
I am sitting in a room different from the one you are in now. I am recording the sound of my speaking voice, and I am going to play it back into the room again and again until the resonant frequencies of the room reinforce themselves so that any semblance of my speech, with perhaps the exception of rhythm, is destroyed. What you will hear then are the natural resonant frequencies of the room articulated by speech. I regard this activity not so much as a demonstration of a physical fact, but more as a way to smooth out any irregularities my speech might have. I am sitting in a room different from the one you are in now. I am recording the sound of my speaking voice, and I am going to play it back into the room again and again until the resonant frequencies of the room reinforce themselves so that any semblance of my speech, with perhaps the exception of rhythm, is destroyed. What you will hear then are the natural resonant frequencies of the room articulated by speech. I regard this activity not so much as a demonstration of a physical fact, but more as a way to smooth out any irregularities my speech might have. I am sitting in a room different from the one you are in now. I am recording the sound of my speaking voice, and I am going to play it back into the room again and again until the resonant frequencies of the room reinforce themselves so that any semblance of my speech, with perhaps the exception of rhythm, is destroyed. What you will hear then
the natural resonant frequencies of the room articulated by speech. I regard this activity not so much as a demonstration of a physical fact, but more as a way to smooth out any irregularities my speech might have. I am sitting in a room different from the one you are in now. I am recording the sound of my speaking voice, and I am going to play it back into the room again and again until the resonant frequencies of the room reinforce themselves so that any semblance of my speech, with perhaps the exception of venom, is destroyed. What you will hear then are the natural resonant frequencies of the room articulated by speech. I regard this activity not so much as a demonstration of a physical fact, but more as a way to smooth out any irregularities my speech might have. I am sitting in a room different from the one you are in now. I am recording the sound of my speaking voice, and I am going to play it back into the room again and again until the resonant frequencies of the room reinforce themselves so that any semblance of my speech, with perhaps the exception of venom, is destroyed. What you will hear then are the natural resonant frequencies of the room articulated by speech. I regard this activity not so much as a demonstration of a physical fact, but more as a way to smooth out any irregularities my speech may have. I am sitting in a room different from the one you are now. I am recording the sound of my speaking voice, and I am going to play it back into the room again and again until the resonant frequencies of the room reinforce themselves so that any symbols of my speech, with perhaps the exception of venom, is destroyed. What you will hear then are the natural resonant frequencies of the room articulated by speech. Thank you.
Thank you.
Wow.
Wow.
Wow. Wow. Wow. Wow. Wow. Wow. Wow. Wow. Wow. Wow.
I'm floored.
Amazing. Wow. Holy moly. Wow.
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 Just when you thought you knew what it meant to record your voice and play it back in a room, Alvin completely changes the playing field.
Ass.
Wouldn't you say, Steve?
Oh my God, yeah. What an amazing piece of work. Just incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it made me think of this phenomenon that I kind of obsess over, how in one's creative life, the more deeply you study something or practice something, the more you begin to hate the things that are in and around it. You know, for example, say you're in your studio and you're working with transducers, and then you go and you see some knucklehead using transducers in Hollywood.
Yeah, I know that feeling.
You begin to hate it, even if it's not hate-worthy, even if...
Yeah.
I guess I'm just trying to say that you want your judgment is clouded because it's too close to home, as they say.
Yeah.
And all that to say that after doing the talking show for all these years, in some ways I've come to hate The Voice.
Right.
And it was very refreshing to hear Alvin through two of my favorite forms of technology, architecture and audio recording, destroy The Voice. That was pretty cool. Pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's maybe like an even sort of gentler personal level of him destroying The Voice too, in that he has a very prominent speech impediment. And so, you know, The Voice, his voice, is most likely a subject of significant sort of personal controversy for Mr. Lussier. You know, I mean, I certainly know that, like, you know, if you're a short guy or if you bald early or whatever, like, these are things that you carry around with you. And I'm sure if you've stuttered your whole life, it's a part of you, and it's a part of you that you have to always keep sort of wrestling with nonstop. So I think there's something sort of more gentle and more reflexive on himself when he destroys The Voice, not just in terms of sort of taking vengeance upon the vocal in general, you know? Do you agree?
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's very exciting to hear that kind of work. You know, I often in my own work try to engage ideas of technology, which has gotten so complicated these days. And definitely hearing work from that generation, you know, reminded of someone like Bruce Nauman, who was able to get so much mileage out of such simple techniques, you know, like a video camera in his studio, a looping vocal track in a room. I don't really understand the term new media anymore, but it seemed to actually have life then and make sense. I don't know. What do you think, Steve?
Yeah, I actually really agree. I think there's something super exciting about the really simple execution of these ideas. And I think the challenge really is to come up with things that are similarly simple now, such that their technical execution doesn't sort of cloud the quote unquote art aspect of it. Not to say that you can't, you know, use or enjoy the technical as like a kind of language almost of its own, but more that, you know, the technical is just the technical. You can have this simpler, you know, more, I guess, studio creative relationship to your materials if you want. You know, does that make sense? Do you know what I'm saying?
Huh. When did you first hear this piece?
I first heard this piece in high school. This is actually the first piece of, you know, this kind of music that I had ever heard. And it fit in really well with other interests I had. I was interested in architecture as a young man. I briefly flirted with being an architect. And I was interested in conceptual art. And this was entirely both of those things. And so I never really got into, you know, new music qua Elliot Carter, say, you know, like living composers who spend their time making innovations in harmony or things like that. Like, that just did not seem of interest to me. Whereas, you know, Alvin Lucier's work was more of interest to me. And frankly, this was also the first piece of his that I heard, and the for a long time, the only piece of his that I heard, because, well, one, they were rather hard to come by. They were rather hard to encounter, especially in high school, especially, you know, on the not really going to commit to an expensive imported recording. I was living in Canada, and these had to be shipped all the way from New York. But when I later was more familiar with more of Lucier's work, I think this and Music for Solo Performer really stand out for me in that there are these attempts at sort of measuring and transforming the performer's body against sort of a space and a concept, and testing them against each other, which is, I think, a little richer than sort of some more purely expressive works of his, like Vespers or Spherics, or exclusively sort of conceptual fact-based work like Music on a Long Thin Wire. I think that as much as I like Music on a Long Thin Wire, for example, it definitely lacks this direct, almost narrativized personal interaction that it has, and that Music for Solo Performer often has. I think it depends on the quality of the performer in that case. I'm thinking specifically of the excellent performance by Pauline Oliveros. But when did you first encounter this music, Nicholas? When did you first meet this style?
Right. Yeah. No, I heard it in the same way I heard a lot of that stuff going to experimental music school. This is, you know, part of the canon. Although I don't feel like Alvin Lucier gets his fair due. Yeah. Similarly with Robert Ashley. I guess Robert Ashley probably gets crammed down the good kids' throats these days. But back then, you know, 400 years ago, those two were marginal characters. You know, there'd be 5 minutes of the music after John Cage lecture would be dedicated to each one of them. And you'd probably be sent home with some listenings, and one of them being I don't know what from Robert Ashley. I feel like Robert Ashley, you always have to listen to
Automatic Rating.
The automatic talking.
Automatic
thing,
Rating. Which it's is bizarre to rating. Me. Yeah, it's weird.
Because I don't feel like it really represents his later work. I mean,
it's like his early work, really.
It just got better from there.
No kidding. Yeah.
But Alvin Lucier, you definitely were sent, one was sent home with I Am Sitting in Room, and it still shakes me when I hear it.
It's an incredible piece.
Very powerful.
Yeah.
Piece. What do you think, Steve?
Oh, it's just wonderful. I mean, as I was saying earlier, it's bizarre blend of the sort of techné with this non-expressive personal material is just incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know what Lucier is up to these days. I think I did a quick Google search a couple months ago, and I saw that there's a funny orchestral version of I Am Sitting in Room where they play maybe a Beethoven motive or something from one of his symphonies and then loop it around in the symphony hall.
Gross.
And lo and behold, it has the same effect. That wasn't so exciting to see that he's in some ways up to his old tricks. But I'm, you know, he's an academic, so there must be writing out there. Have you read any of Lucier's writing?
You know, actually I haven't. That's the other thing. I mean, I imagine there is a compendium of it, but in some cases it takes forever. Like the Robert Ashley thing came out the year before he died, more or less, you know?
Hmm.
Yeah. So yeah. Who knows?
I guess that puts a great burden on you, Steve, to find a creative way to use your new watch designed by Apple, assembled in China. Do you think that you'll maybe we could watch the next Game of Thrones on your watch. You know, maybe we could take the metro somewhere and watch Game of Thrones on your watch with, like, you know, a headphone splitter. We're both sitting there. You're holding the watch up. What do you think?
You know, I'm going to say I'm not even sure that that would work. I don't think the watch is really for that, really. It's kind of like for text messaging, sort of.
Okay, then.
Yeah. Sorry.
Well, until next time, Steve and I, sounds like, are going to be watching Game of Thrones separately. But anyhow.
On laptops.
Everyone, we hope you enjoyed our guest tonight. Alvin, thanks for coming.
So much.
Hope you have a safe trip back to the East Coast. Mm-hmm. We all know the weather's better here, but you guys got some good people. Good night.
Buenas noches.